Now let's continue with Perek Yud. Perek Yud continues, Vayikach Shmuel as Pach HaShemen. So Shmuel takes this flask of oil, and what does he do with it? Vayisok al Horosho, and he decides, he puts it, pours it on his head, Vayishakehu, and he kisses him. So Shmuel and Shaul embrace in a kiss. We'll discuss the significance about that in a second in the Radak, as well as other places, basically in the Radak. That, and some say that not that he literally poured oil on his head, but he smeared the oil on Shaul's head in the circumference of where a crown would be. And that would, there's a symbolism that he would be wearing a crown. Vayishakehu, and Shmuel symbolically kisses Shaul. The Radak is going to explain the whole Indian of what a kiss is in a moment. Plus it continues, Vayomer, and he said, Haloki Moshachtel Hashem al Nachalosol Nagid. Indeed, Hashem has anointed you as a ruler over his heritage. So, which means that he's now appointed you as being the Melech over Klai Yisrael. So if we look in the Radak. The Radak points out the first Indian is this oil. And in fact, this oil, this was not placed as it typically was. We think of David that it was in a keren, it was in a horn. The keli, the vessel that the oil was held in was a horn. However, when it came to Shaul, his anointing was not taken from the horn, but rather was taken from a klicheres. The pasuk doesn't say this, but this is what happened. It was taken out of potter. Actually, if you look at the Radak, even the part which is not underlined, lo hayizah shemen amishcha. This is not the typical anointing oil. Because that oil is only anointed on the hands of Malchi Beis David, who had a dynasty, which we'll see later in the parrot in the second Shmuel Bet. El Shemen, but rather the Shemen was called Shemen a parsimony, which is balsamum oil, a different type of anointing oil for those who are not from Malchus Beis David. So first of all, we find that the oil, at least according to the Radak, not everyone agrees to this, it's not so clear from the Pasuk, that the oil was not Shemen HaMishcha. I mean, the Pasuk doesn't say it was Shemen HaMishcha, it just says Shemen. Okay, so...
Shemen Zayas,
huh? And this was a different form of a different type of oil.
Which is
obviously an inferior type of oil.
Strange shot for the Radak, no? Because it's... What is he playing games with him? Well, I'm not going to use the real kingly oil here, but we'll get a nice, fat-free.
Right. You're right.
That's what it is.
Right.
We'll use some salad oil instead.
Right. You're right. It is very strange. And what's even more difficult is the Radak continuing, but this time it's not just his words, it's the Gemara and Megillah. But Amrin, the Gemara and Megillah says toward the end of the first parak, Yudal Adam Aleph, Shaul, the Ehu shenimshachu bepach lo nimshachu malchusan. He says that when it came to Shaul, who is our focus over here, his anointing was with a pach, which pach translates a flask, right?
As opposed to the horn, the carrot.
To a horn, right. So we're going to see the Radak continues and says that. So a flask is something which is more temporary. Simply translated, a flask was made out of klicheres, of earthenware. That a person could easily just take klicheres and shatter it and smash it, which some say is the symbolism of by the Tanoim, that they take a klicheres as a which is something which is very easy to break, and the difference between, so they say at a wedding, chasna, you know, the chasna doesn't step on klicheres, he steps on klizchuchis, on a piece of glass, because klizchuchis has the capacity, even though it's easy to break, but you could always remend it, and you can reform it and become glass again, right? It's not something which is permanent, which is the unfortunate. Some look at it, you can look at it a romantic way. The non-romantic way is there's an eitz out of this marriage, which is a get. It could also be used as another, you can use other ways of interpreting it. But the klicheres, which is broken by the tanoim, symbolizes that it's something which is easy. It's easy to break, but the real symbolism is that it can never be reformed. But it's something which is not permanent in nature, easily can smash. And therefore, so too says the Gemara, quoted by the Radak, that the mouthless of Sheol is not destined to last. David v'Shlomo, says the Radak, shenimshachu b'keren nimshacha malchusan. They're anointed with a horn, and therefore the oil within the horn, therefore nimshacha malchusan. Their malchus is something which endures, something which lasts a long time. And the question is, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it because they used the horn that that was the reason why it lasted? Probably not. I mean, again, it was supposed to be Malchus Beis David. He ultimately is going to be the Melech. And this whole idea of Sheol being a Melech was only temporary. So, and not only that, but in addition to being temporary, the fact that he made major mistakes, as we'll see a couple of them, one of them is most famous for the mistake of allowing Agag to live among a Malek, other makes another mistake with the Karbonos, which we'll see later on, also, but nonetheless, that's the reason why his malchus was short-lived. Some also explain that the whole reason why he became a melech was only about the wrong reasons, because the Klai Yisrael did ask for a melech, even though it's a mitzvah to have a melech, but it was kechol goyim. So since the whole reason for asking for a king was for the wrong reasons, he already was built and almost set up to fail, if you will. And therefore, it was much easier for him, his malchus, to be temporary, because their interest in being a melech, appointing a melech, is only kichol goyim. What does it mean, kichol goyim? So right now, all the nations love having a king. Maybe tomorrow, all the nations don't like kings anymore. So therefore, kichol goyim. So the whole notion is temporary. If you're not building it on Torah nitzchias, not based on, it's a mitzvah, so it's not going to last. It's temporary, like anything. And therefore, so too is his malchus. Okay. So that explains, on some level, this inyan of the symbolism of the oil, as well as it being in a klicheres, a fragile earthenware vessel. Radak then continues with the medrash.
Yaakov Avinu knew that this was going to be like this.
Go ahead.
That's why he went back to Pachet Bitan.
Oh.
Must have been most
Pachan that they used. I don't know. I never heard that.
Yaakov went across there. Why did he go for Pachan Kana? So why did they say that?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out why he did it.
Right.
What's the reason they gave it? Because
the Sadiqim or
Pachan. He knew there's an Edis in these Pachan or Pach for sure.
I think Chazal says Chaviv Loma Mono Yosef Agufo. That's the last. Their possessions are more beloved than their own physical welfare, which of course needs work. That's what Chazal say on that pasuk. Obviously, that's a whole lot to discuss. But think about the small things in life. There's a lot of pasuk has a lot of.
Of course, that works perfectly with what everyone is saying.
In what?
Because that's why it's chavuv mamona. Because who knows what can be accomplished later on with that, with the mammon.
Right.
He's going to use it, according to Erwin, to be much after the king. Okay?
That's correct. You have to find the Chazal that actually says that that's what they use.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah, that's the slight problem of it.
Your project. Your mission should be
to. So we are in the middle of Pasuk Aleph. We're in the Radak, now discussing how Shmuel and Sheol embrace in a kiss. What is this? What's the inyan of this? And generally speaking, when we find the word bishakehu, it doesn't mean a little peck on the cheek or in the hand. It means usually a kiss from one mouth to the next. And this Radak gives us a little bit of insight as to the symbolism of that kiss, as to really the symbolism of all forms of kisses. What it really, the purpose of it. What does it really mean? So the Radak says as follows, quotes a Medrash, Shmos Rabbah, says, Kol Nishikos Haim Shel Tiflus. All kisses in the world, they're Tiflus. How do you translate Tiflus?
It's famous.
Tiflus. It's.
I'm not
Unimportant. Okay, that could be a way of translating. It doesn't have tremendous meaning and value. Right. Yeah, unimportant.
It's called Hadalaga Spita Torah. Same word.
What?
Same word is used over there. Called Hadalaga Spita Torah.
Oh, right. Tiflis, right. So it's almost like it's not, you're not really accomplishing much by the typical neshikos. Chutz mishlosh neshikos, I guess once we hear this and we define what the Radak is quoting, maybe we'll understand how to translate the words kol neshikos hamshel tiflis. Except for three things. There are three kisses which are not considered to be tiflis. There are going to be three meaningful times. And what are those three times? Neshika shel gedula. So one time is when you have gedula, when you have great people, or someone attains a position of greatness, then when that person is given a position of greatness, there a kiss between two parties is a nice thing. Okay, we'll see. Of course, we'll use that our pasuk to support that. But what are the other two? Neshika shel prokim. A kiss when it comes to two individuals that come together, that they haven't been together for a long time, and they reunite. And the shikos shel precious, when two people are about to separate, the kiss before one separates. So where is this? So how do we see these different sources? That each of the time there was something meaningful in that kiss. The shikos shel gedula v'yitzukal rosh v'yishakeyu. The pasuk tells us in Shmuel Aleph that Shmuel and Shaul, after he was anointed as going to be the Melech, that they embraced in a kiss. Neshika shel prokim, this kiss of two individuals that come together after being parted for a while, as the pasuk says, v'yelech, and they went v'yifkashehu bahar ho'elokim v'yishaklo. This is referring to this is with regard to Moshe and Aaron. All right, so that when they came together, they embraced and in a kiss. Neshika shel precious, and what is the neshika shel precious? We just read about this 2 days ago. But tishak arpa l'chamosa. So arpa went to her mother-in-law, right? Who happened to be. What was her mother-in-law's name? What was Arpa's mother-in-law's name?
Naomi,
right? And they kissed. So this was a time of precious, because this was, as we know, she decided to leave. Rus decided to stay, to stay by Naomi. But Arpa chose to leave, so that precious, that kiss, also has some symbolism, has some meaning, as we'll see in a second. Now, those are three. The question is, how about husband and wife? So Rabbi Tanchuma Omar, he says, Av neshika shel krivus. Also a kiss of two people coming together, companionship, coming close, being karov. Shenemar, and he brings the pasuk of two lovers in love, the Yishak Yaakov Rachel, and that's basically it. So and Yaakov, upon seeing Rachel for the first time, kissed her. Of course, they were relatives, as some of the Farshim say, but it's clear was not just that they were relatives, or some people tie it wasn't even Krivus. Krivus could mean the kiss of relatives, or it could mean to become close. That's, you're right, it's an interesting way of reading the word Krivus.
Looking at this, and I'm probably wrong with this, but in reading this, that the impression that comes to my mind has a little different twist to it.
Yep.
And that's that, first of all, it doesn't say Vayishaku. Every one of these cases, it says one kissed the other. One was active in initiating it, one was passive in receiving it.
Good.
And where it says the Shikar Shel Tiflus, I would think that you might interpret that to say that the person who comes over and runs quickly to kiss somebody else is if he's making himself tafel to the other one, almost subjugating to the other one, saying you're important, I'm showing you that I'm less important than you, I'm coming on to you, I'm subjugating myself to you. And then the exceptions here are all cases where that does not apply. For example, the Navi coming here is not certainly not making himself Tafel to Shaul, but it's a Gadol, to be the kids, so that's the Nishikash of the Kudra. The Nishikash of pre-shoot of two people are parting and not going to see each other for a while once we're on a long trip. So it's not that you're kissing somebody, you're initiating it, but it's not that you're subjugating the other one, just you're showing that you're going to miss them. And the same thing is the Nishikash shall when they get back together, that they're doing this. And the fourth one, and that's the reason that the fourth one is like an alternative lashon that maybe not everybody agrees with, and it's an add-on, is the Nishika in between lovers, but you could say, well, maybe one is saying, I love you so much, I'm subjugating myself to you, and maybe it's just saying that, no, I just love you, we're equal, but I'm expressing love to you.
How does Orpa fit into that?
Orpa is the Nishika Shal Prishus.
So where is Hachashivas compared to Naomi?
No, it's not Hachashivas. It's what she thinks of Hachashivas. It's what she's doing. She's not saying to Naomi that I'm subjugating myself to you. If anything, she did the opposite. It's Ruth who subjugated herself to Naomi and said, where you go, I go. I'm following you. Orpah said, I'm leaving. Orpah said, I'm out of here. But it's Nikah, the Shikash of Precious, because she is not subjugating herself to her, not saying, I'm bowing to your will or something like that, but rather it's the Precious.
She doesn't fit the profile of
yes,
the other three. She really doesn't. You're talking in the first one, you're talking about...
You're talking about Shmuel and Shaul. See, what you're saying is...
Yaakov and Rachel.
You're talking about the absolute value of the person in our judgment or maybe
right.
in the judgment of history.
Right.
But in their immediate judgment at the moment, maybe she thought... that she's doing the right thing. She thought that this is the
yeah, but so would any tiflis situation.
No. Tiflis, if you take tiflis and interpret it that way, it's somebody who's saying, I feel I should subjugate myself to you. Orpah did not feel she should subjugate herself to Naomi. In fact, the fact that she left and that Ruth went, if anything, Ruth was the one who said, I'm subjugating myself to you, I'm bowing to you. But even though she, in the judgment of history and in our judgment, is certainly the lesser of the person to Naomi, at the same time, at the moment that she did this, she was not by any means acknowledging that fact by the kiss. The kiss is just a kiss of party.
Okay, let me...
You know, we're leaving out the famous kiss.
Yaakov
and Esav.
Okay, so good. So let's...
Esav, you could say that he may have gone over to him to say, as if I'm subjugating himself, but he really was biting him. There was a kiss of trickery, but he was trying to make it look like that.
That was Tiflis.
He was trying to make it look like Tiflis, but he didn't consider himself Tafel by any means, and he was tricking Yaakov. Maybe he was trying to make Yaakov think that, oh, look at this, he's becoming Tafel to me, but in fact, what he came to do was to bite him.
Interesting the way you're saying it, because we're going to hear a completely different approach of what it means to kiss someone, what you're really accomplishing. Open to interpretation. So the Kli Yakar brings down the name of Rav Shlomo Alkabitz. He says as follows, just a couple lines, and I'll share it with you. Neshika shel gedula hula davka. He said, Rucha b'rucha. What is happening is that when Shmuel and Shaul come together at this time, it's a time when Shmuel is handing over his power, his leadership over to Shaul. And therefore the symbolism of this kiss, of why it is Shaul kissing Shmuel, which is what the Pasuk says, right? The Pasuk says, V'yishakehu, and it's talking about that Shmuel is passive in it being anointed and also being kissed. Someone get the door?
Yeah.
Which means that he's handing over everything. Rucha b'rucha, spirit to spirit. And a different way of explaining it, the Pasuk says, V'yipach ba'pav nishmaschaim. And the Zohar brings down that what happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he blows into us something which comes from him, right? Hashem blows into our nostrils, into our mouths, something which comes from him. And therefore, it's explained that when a person is involved in this intimate relationship, what's happening, this action, is that you're giving over something from within yourself, your kochos, your strengths, your abilities, you're giving over to another person. And that's what Shaul was receiving from Shmuel. The gedula, the neshika shel gedula, has meaning in that kiss, in that it's being given over this greatness. And he says that even Eliyahu Shaul mi Binyamin v'hamalchus miuchedes liYehuda, even though the truth is you come from Binyamin and Malchus is supposed to be given over Malchus beis David from Yehuda, and he quotes the pasuk nonetheless, and there lokach chutzur chol neshika mishmuel, by embracing and kissing him, what he's showing him is that all the powers and abilities of leadership that I have, I'm giving over to you. But that's the idea of in a relationship, of what that act is that each person is giving from their very neshama, from their very within themselves to the other person, which is why it's one of the most intimate acts.
If memory serves me right from learning this years ago, we are going to see that Shmuel did something here which, for a man who was the God of Hador, who had a tremendous power of Nebuah, which is now one of the greatest of all the powers of Nebuah, he did something here, Vayikach Shmuel, it's not that he happened to anoint him with a pach, Vayikach Shmuel had a pach, he deliberately took a pach shemen and anointed him. And we are going to see later that an anointing with a pach is very different than anointing with
the horn. Correct. Yeah, that's the redak, the previous, the redak prior.
The previous redak.
Correct, and that's the reason why that alludes to the fact that it's a temporary malchus.
Right.
That's right.
Take a look at the
redak. The redak before that. Right. So just to wrap up, that according to this other pshat, explains the reason why these particular forms are considered to be not shel tiflus, because you're giving over something. So a neshika shel precious, that when you're together and you care about each other and you're someone who is leaving you, so by kissing them, you want them to take something from you with them, maybe your memory, a memory of you, that you love them. So, but you're giving them something from you which you're separating from. And that's the idea also of coming together as well, of the neshika shel parakim, when they come together after being a long time, because they were missing one another, to be able to reconnect and to be able to give. And the way I understand the neshika shel krivus is that sometimes when it comes to relationships, people view it as like a business relationship. I take and you take, and together we're happy because I take from you and you take. It's supposed to be a give-give relationship. And if it's a give-give relationship, that's the proper level of neshika shel krivus, which not everyone is able to attain. We'll have to stop.